Blog Talk Radio.
Rising Publications, and he's still currently teaching classes
and traveling the Comic-Con circuit. Mike Watson is a very good brother. He's all his work is phenomenal. Everything that I've seen by him has been great. You know, his work with Freestyle Comics, you know, it's not much you can say about what he does in his own community, as well as when he come through here, right here through Detroit, for the Motor City Black Age of Comics. You know, he has shown, you know, tremendous skills. There's not too many people that can match up to his skills, I must say. But the brother is really doing his thing. Tonight, I will be hosting it by myself. Once again, this is Andre Batts. Kelly McAlpine will be on maybe a little later. Cynthia McDonald will be back next week or the week after with our future guests to be announced a little later. In the meantime, I'm going to get Mr. Mike Watson on here so he can tell us a whole lot about his life in the comic book industry and the Comic-Con circuit. Greetings, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. That was an amazing introduction and making me blush.
No, dudes can't blush when other dudes talk. it's all good. But hey, I had to introduce you some type of way because, you know, from what I've seen as far as your work is concerned, you know, I'm pretty ecstatic about it myself. So you deserve that type of intro.
Appreciate,
you know what I mean?
Appreciate it.
It wouldn't be right if I just had you come on and just say, hey, Mike, come on, tell me something, you know. Anything you got to say, just tell me.
Well, I will be the first person to admit I'm only as good as my team. So, you know, I have an inker and colors that I roll around with on most of my projects, and Gary Mitchell and Veronica Smith make me look really good.
Oh, okay. Now, will they be calling in tonight?
Oh, no.
I would love
no,
to have,
a,
I just, have
I just
them
always,
on here with
I always shout them out.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's cool. That's always a good thing to do because, you know, I was looking at their work on the flyer that you did for the Motor City Black Age of Comics the past 2 years. And I must say, Veronica is really good. You know, she's, you know, her colors are, you know, off the chain, you know, from what I could see.
Yeah, she's
she
actually coloring
all
two
the coloring
books
on all
right
your
now.
Books.
No, she's only coloring Hotshot and Vigilance right now.
Okay. All right, that's cool. Now let me get into a few questions or whatever. You know, while you're on the line here, you know, let me ask you, who were your earliest inspirations or your present influences that inspire your comic books and your comic book writing and your style of art?
Oh, right out the gate, I would have to say Jim Lee and Adam Kubert and Andy Kubert were big influences and big starters for me. But then, as you know, your comic book tenure grows and you expand to other books and things like that. Oliver Coppel, Ryan Otley, Robert Kirkman, Brian Michael Bendis, Joe Madd. Yeah, those are some heavy influences on my artwork and the type of stories that I like to tell.
Oh, okay. Now, when you get into your stories, what are you more into, like the typical comic book stories? Are you into horror, science fiction? What do you consider your genre as far as comic books are concerned? Superhero?
Yeah, my main genre to dabble in is superhero. You won't catch me in a horror book because I'm a punk. I don't do any of the scary stuff. I can't handle it.
You're a scary cat.
Yeah, I'm a scary cat, man. I'll be the first one to admit it. I do a bit of sci-fi. My wife and I are both reading Saga. We just got on that boat right now, so we've been reading Saga.
Okay.
Saga. One book I don't miss a beat on is Invincible. It is my favorite comic book out right now. Of course, I got my personal Marvel picks. Spider-Man I'm reading. Picked up some Black Panther. You know, I dabble in some indie stuff. Dinah Girl. Samaritan, Trouble with Love by Victor Dandridge, who did those last two titles, Quinn McGowan's Wildfire. I hop around. I hop around to a lot of different stuff, but mainly superhero stuff.
Oh, okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Me, myself, you know, I dabble in different graphic novels or whatever myself. I'm into, like, stories like, you know, 100 Bullets, The Walking Dead. You know,
yeah.
I really get into those type of stories, you know. The superhero genre, I like creating superhero comics and putting them out there. But, you know, what I like to read is not really superhero-based. That's really weird. You know what I mean? It's like I escape one from the other.
Okay.
You know, it gives me that outlet. So when I'm resting here, I can get started there. I'm wide awake on this genre here. You know,
that
I guess
sense.
That's what keeps me going. Tell me about Hot Shot, the storyline behind Hot Shot. I really like Hot Shot. I will say that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Hot Shot takes place in Columbus and Cleveland because I am from Cleveland and I live currently in Columbus. And quite frankly, I was tired of stories happening in New York City. So,
me too.
When I was working on this book and making a comic book, I wanted to make a story that people could get attached to, that people would have some type of buy-in or value on. So the first part of it, which would be the meat and potatoes of it, is it's based off of my life during my sophomore year at the Columbus College of Art and Design. And that was one of the paths I chose because Spider-Man is one of my favorite characters, along with Wolverine, Invincible, and Naruto. And a lot of time when you're caring for these characters, you if you really think about it, you're cheering for that person, that character to win. Like when you're reading Spider-Man, you're cheering for Peter Parker to win, not Spider-Man.
Right.
You want Peter Parker to get the win because Peter Parker never gets the win. Even in his superhero life, he's always getting beat up. He's, you know, always barely making it. But you want him to win because Peter Parker gets crapped on so much. You want him to get that victory. And like the character Naruto, his strong beliefs and his loyalty and him pushing his friends to protect his friends so much as his drive for doing what he wants to do to protect them. I wanted that type of story. I wanted that type of story where, you know, it was credible. So I had a lot of bad things happen to me in my sophomore year, but I had a lot of good things happen as well. But I figured it was a story that people could relate to, and when they read it, they were just like, man, I can feel where this kid's coming from. I can understand this because I've been through that, or I've known somebody that's gone through that, or that's a logical, you know, that actually makes sense that happens. Instead of, you know, when we watch these movies and stuff, we're like, nobody would do that. That's not how you would react in a situation like that. And then so the mix of the superheroic antics on top of it, you know, for adventure and fun and drawing cool things. And I was like, that's the story that I want to tell. So basically it's about me, Mike, and I get superpowers right before I go to college. And I make the decision to become a superhero at a time when there are not that many left. And I'm in college, so I'm trying to juggle my college life, my part-time job, and being a superhero, and convince my current girlfriend at that time that I'm not cheating on her without saying I'm a superhero.
That sounds like a lot going on in Hot Shot's life there.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's how life is.
Right.
Like when you actually sit down and you look at what you're doing, or like what you have planned for the day, or what you need to get done. There's a lot of things that you have to juggle as a person. So.
Right. Well, it's really good that you added, you know, the humanism aspect into the character, because, like you say, most superhero-based comics are out of touch with humanity and the things that, you know, we go through with everyday life. So that was, you know, that's what really makes it a character to, you know, get attached to because of that. So that makes a lot of sense. That's real smart on your behalf. And what about Vigilance? Can you tell us about Vigilance?
Well, Vigilance is a character that's been reoccurring in Hotshot, and it next to I get asked three questions when people read Hotshot. What his powers are, what's the Zero event, and when is Vigilance getting her own book? So once I got the gig with Legacy Rising Publications and they needed titles, I pitched Vigilance to them and was like, let's go, let's do it. But Vigilance, just think of Vigilance as, I mean, a basic description that she's the Superman of our universe. She's a full-time superhero. She's the strongest extra. That's what we call superpowered people in our verse.
Right.
She's the strongest extra on record, and she's full-time. So she doesn't have an alternate ego, alternate personality to go back to or anything like that. She is Vigilance all the time. Like, she'll do premieres or movie premieres and events as Vigilance whenever the government needs her to. But we're basically going to explore her origin and the first 10 issues, where she came from, and, you know, what the deal is with what happened in Hotshot 5 when she got possessed by Void. Like, why did that even have an effect on her? And but it's basically watching her, because she's a real stiff, structured, to the point type of character. So she's all about business. And with her recent hanging outs with Hotshot, and he's starting to inject some more humanity in her. So we're going to see her go from, like, this cold, robotic style woman to more of a human being, and we're basically going to tear her down and then build her back up.
So she's going to be wearing regular clothes.
Yeah, she's going to be in some regular clothes from time to time. Well, what's regular for her? Like, which is a custom jumpsuit that they have made for and things like that.
Okay. So when did you actually decide to you know, publish your own work, as far as with Hotshot being the start of your universe? What made you decide to start publishing on your own?
Marvel Comics actually made me decide to start publishing on my own.
What did they do?
I went to a few different comic book conventions when I first got started, right after college. And I would submit my portfolio to them. You know, back in the day when I used to go to all the shows, I'd submit my stand in line for like 3, 4, 5 hours at a time, go up there, submit my portfolio. They flip through it and say, hey, this is good, but you need to work on this. I go home, work on it, come back to another show, repeat the process. They're like, oh, okay, you're getting better, but you need to do this. Did that about 4 or 5 times. And then final time, I felt there was nothing that they should be able to say besides give me a job. I took my portfolio up there. They flipped through the pages, didn't have anything to say, just a bunch of head nodding, and then closed my portfolio and asked me to step around back with them. And I was like, man, all right, that's what I'm talking about. This is about to be it. And pulled out my portfolio again, looked through it, and said, man, your style's really good. We know you can tell a story. It's obviously that you've been coming back and forth to these portfolio reviews, and you've been improving upon, you know, everything that we've told you. But I'm going to have to say that your style is not what we're looking for because it's urban. So he said I had a very urban comic book style, and that's not what Marvel was looking for at this time. So I was kind of taken aback by that, because to me, when you say that, that just, to me, that sounds like you're saying that I draw black people like black people and Asian people like Asian people and Latino people like Latino people. And I was kind of speechless. I was speechless. I didn't have anything to say, because I thought this was the moment. I thought this was it. And after I walked over that line, I just took my portfolio with me and, you know, on the ride back home, because I believe I was in Chicago. On the ride back home, Wizard World Chicago, yes.
Okay.
I just decided that, well, if you feel like I draw urban, then I'm going to draw my own characters. I want to draw characters that people see. Like, I just don't draw black people. I draw all types of characters in my book, and I want people to be able to identify with that. And, you know, it's the world that we live in. So that's what I want my book to be like.
Okay. Now, it's interesting that you brought up, you know, the Marvel letdowns is what motivated you to get into publishing your own titles. But I think just about everyone, maybe two individuals that I've talked to on here have said the same thing, you know, going to the different comic book conventions, going there with their portfolios and Marvel telling them, you know, your look is too ethnic, or as you say, urban. You have an urban style. It's interesting. You say urban style, being as though that's really the name of my company, Urban Style Comics.
Right.
So, but needless to say, I remember a time when they mentioned that to me about urban style. You know, they were looking for some graffiti type art and things of that nature. And my whole crew at that time, we know they were drawing strictly what you've seen in the books. Wasn't anything different or whatever as far as hip-hop style art or whatever. The company was just called Urban Style Comics. It took like 8 of us to figure out a name, and we had a bunch of them, and we just decided to go with that. That was it. But whenever we went around, they pulled that same thing on us as well. So we were good. So, you know, we just went on and did our own thing, point blank. You know, we still got me, you know, and my little crew doing something here and there. That's about it. But everybody has said the same thing. And I'm really glad that it has motivated you guys to do your own thing because of the fact that we do need more ethnic characters or more characters that represent, you know, the world that we live in and not the world that they're trying to create to make it superior to us visually. And what I mean by that is, you know, with Marvel, DC, we know most of their characters are, you know, European descendants, white, Caucasian, whatever you want to call them. And they're really superpowered. And a lot of us grew up looking up to the Doctor Strange, Thor, and Spider-Man, as you brought up, early Peter Parker, Captain America. We grew up, you know, just idolizing us. So to create something that represents your surroundings is a wonderful thing. You know, now, did you see, speaking of Captain America, did you see that, Civil War?
Yes, I've seen it twice.
Seen it twice already? Only seen it once.
Yeah,
what did you think of it?
I didn't. Oh, I loved it.
I thought it was pretty good too, myself.
I thought it was
story driven, which was good, and I really, you know, liked the way that they did Black Panther. You know, I really liked the way they intertwined
him
into the story. I thought that was a plus.
I thought they paid total respect to Black Panther. Black Panther was actually better than I thought he was going to be. They nailed Peter Parker, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Ant-Man
yeah.
stole the show. Cap is always good.
Right.
I mean, Falcon was amazing. And they managed to fit 13 comic book characters in this movie, and it didn't feel crowded at all.
It was one show. And I thought, you know, for the most part, I thought it was good. You know, and to be honest, I always thought, I never really liked Captain America as far as when I read the comics back in the day. But the movies, as far as Marvel movies, I think Captain America, that's my own opinion, has been the best movies out of all of them that's been out there.
I will agree with you. I think Captain America is also the only trilogy that got better with every installment.
Right.
But,
that's what I was thinking of. I'm like, wait a minute, now Captain America, you know, was born in the books, but, you know, on screen, you know, it's like the bomb here.
No, yeah, 100%. I didn't dig Captain America until Civil War, probably. Civil War in the comic books, and we got this really cool, probably because he went the opposite direction of what I thought he was going to go, but that's when I really started getting into Steve Rogers and Captain America in the comic books. And and then when Winter Soldier came out, I was like, oh my goodness, they nailed it. That's the Cap I know. Because I liked Captain America, the first movie, but it wasn't Marvel's best movie to me. I was like, It's a seed filler, you know. It's a puzzle piece to a bigger puzzle, so we can get what
it served its purpose.
Yeah.
When you look at the title, The First Avenger, you know that right there spoke for itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because did introduce, you know, just the whole universe, you know, and I really appreciated that, you know, considering so I grew up reading a lot of Marvel comics, you know, myself, you know, like Thor, Doctor Strange, and so on and so on and so on, you know, because Doctor Strange is really more or less one of my favorite characters of the Marvel universe. I haven't read it in a long time, but when I was reading Marvel comics, that was one of the ones that really set it off pretty good for me. I liked some of the others, but that one was really the one that set it off because he was dealing with a lot of different eerie things. You know, and I can't wait till that movie comes out.
Right.
You know. So, now you just recently
Marvel?
Got with, go ahead. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
No, I was just saying Marvel, the cinematic universe has a knack, a really good way of making you like characters that you just didn't care about in the comic books for. They have a really good way of doing that. So, and I'm not a bandwagon jumper, so I could care less about Ant-Man in the comic books. I am not buying Ant-Man's comics.
Ant-Man is great.
He's hilarious in the movies. And Doctor Strange, that's one of my favorite actors. Cumberbatch, I pronounced the name wrong all the time, but I can't wait to see him as Doctor Strange, but I am not going to be going to go buy a Doctor Strange comic book. Captain Hulk are my favorite characters in the universe right now, but I don't buy any of their books. So Marvel has a really good way of making you care about and enjoy characters who are, you know, who you're not buying in the books.
Right. Yeah, that is true. I just hope that with the Doctor Strange, I hope that they're able to capture the same thing that they did when they did the animated version a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever seen the animated version of Doctor Strange, the movie, but it was
I've seen it.
Hopefully they can, you know, top that with this live action. You know, and I'm hoping that that's what they would do with that. You know, so let me see. Now, when did you line up with Legacy Rising?
That all came to fold in January.
Mm-hmm.
So Legacy Rising is actually owned by Doug Sim, who is the owner of Heroes and Games, a comic book shop in the convention center downtown in Columbus, Ohio. And he was... Heroes and Games and Doug was already a sponsor of mine for the last couple of years, helping me get books printed for Freestyle Comics and getting me out to different comic book conventions across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's actually been sitting on this idea of starting a comic book company for a while because he works with a lot of indie artists like myself, Ren McKenzie, Victor Dandridge, and, you know, numerous other ones, and like Mason Easley, things like that. So he had called me in to the store. He wanted to get lunch and sit and talk. And normally when he does that, he wants me to do a commission for him. So I get there and, you know, he starts talking and I'm like, oh, wait, this isn't about a commission. Like he's trying to start a comic book company. And his thing is that he wants to start it with the artists that he has worked with and helped support already that live here in Columbus for the most part. You know, he's reached out to other artists out of state and, you know, and on the other side of the country as well. But he pitched this idea to me. He said there's a book that he wanted me to draw in specific, and there was two books that he was interested in having me draw. And I was like we had talked for like 45 minutes about it, and it was really him talking and me listening. And then when he was done, I was like, so you finished? I want to make sure you got everything out, if you didn't miss anything. He was like, yeah, I'm done. All right, man, you had me at comic book company startup. Like, you had me right there. So, yeah, I want to do it. Like, I trust you. You've supported me all this time. You know what you're doing. And I think that's awesome. And so then he laughed, and, you know, then we started talking a little bit more. And he was like, I know you do Hotshot, and I know you have these plans for Heroes International and Vigilance to come out as well. So I'm not trying to interfere in that. So you can continue to self-publish all you want. Maybe we can even talk about bringing your characters over to Legacy. And I was like, well, what does that look like? He was like, well, it looks like you would still be, all your stuff will still be creator-owned. It'll be your properties. I would just be publishing the books, getting them in Diamond, attempting to get them in Diamond and get them out to comic book shows. I mean, so I was like, well, that looks great. So I'd kind of be dumb not to take that offer up.
Right, right. No, you're right. That was a good decision you made on that one. That was a good move. But how does it feel to see, you know, your work in publications, in production, you know, as far as like a hot shot? You know, when you first seen your book actually being printed, you were actually able to go to a show and people just gravitate to it. How does that make you feel?
Dude, it's an amazing feeling, and it's one of the reasons why I'm a comic book artist. When I was in the sixth grade and I read the first comic book that I really did love and enjoy, there's a feeling you get when you're turning these pages and these are characters that you really enjoy and that you're sucked into the story and you can't wait to get down and read the next page and get to the next one. And that feeling of excitement is what I want to put in other people when they're reading my stuff. So whenever I go to shows and people are buying my books or they come back up and they're like, hey, where's the next issue? Or they're asking me questions about it. Or it's an amazing feeling. There's this one kid who, throughout the course of me being at a convention, he came over, bought one copy of the book, bought the number one issue, came back 10 minutes later with another $5, bought the second issue, went over in the corner and read it, came back, his friend bought him the third issue, went over in the corner and read it, brought his mom over, got the fourth issue. By the end of the day, he had purchased all seven issues of Hot Shot, and he was reading the book like 10 feet away from me. Like, he was lost in the story, dude. He was completely lost. He was not on this planet anymore. He was in the Hot Shot verse, experiencing it. And he was showing his two friends next to him, and I took a picture of him. It's one of my favorite pictures that I've ever taken at a show. And it was like, it's that moment and those reasons why I do what I do. Because it was just such a joy to watch that happen. And recently, I just did a quick little promo with Legacy Rising and the characters. And because I matched Civil War, I said, what if the Civil War happened in the Hotshot universe? What side would you be on, Team Hotshot or Team Vigilance? So I made up their own custom banner. Yeah. And we came up with a quick mock story. And I said, this is just completely a mock. I'm not really trying to do this. I just want to get some conversation going and some dialogue. And then there was debate. There was questions going on. Like, Luke's the writer of Heroes International, and I asked him his feedback. Where do you think the characters would lie down, on Hotshot side or Vigilance side? And he had said a couple characters, and Danny, who owns all the issues, said, really, you think Titan would be on Vigilance side and not Hotshot? And, like, there was a whole debate going back and forth, and I just stepped out of it, and I just read it on Facebook. I just sat back loving it. Like, this whole discussion is happening about characters that I've created. That Victor has helped me create, that Luke is writing and revamping. So it's just, it's an amazing feeling.
So like Titan would go head up with Vigilance since they're both so powerful.
Well, that was my plan. When I was looking through the characters, I thought Titan would side with Hotshot because Hotshot, in her origin story that was released actually with Sketch in the City, Hotshot's the one that discovered Titan and saved her life. But Luke feels that because Titan is a rookie and she wants to go where she knows what her power can do when she's untrained, that she would lean towards Vigilant. So the odds were stacked against Hotshot's team. Even like Victor, who is he helped create the Heroes of the National team, pretty much. That was all Victor's idea with that team. And he's laid down the foundation for the Hotshot verse. He looked at me and said, I don't know how Team Hotshot even has a chance of beating Team Vigilance when he looked at the roster. Like,
right, right.
What type of writing you doing besides the fact that Hotshot's you that they win?
Well, let me ask you, so far, what has been your biggest obstacle as an indie creator, artist, you know, as far as in the industry so far?
Oh, man, all types of things knocking down at the door, you know, but you got to keep pushing through. Money is the biggest problem, consistently having the income to do it, because I know myself, I can't do it all by myself, which is why I lean so heavily on Gary and Veronica. I feel like I got really lucky when I found those two. I feel like they complement my drawing very well, and I complement their colors and inks. So It's always been an issue of, you know, getting enough fundage to keep to give people money to help out on these productions.
Correct.
Then the probably the biggest thing, which you know, I don't know when or how that can change, but the biggest thing is getting people to freaking conversate about your books. I've gotten into a few,
right.
well, not a few, several debates and arguments about how I should support indie books for the sole purpose that they're being created by black people or people of color. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that.
It may be garbage anyway, so I can just say that.
Exactly.
Right off the top.
Yeah, it might be garbage. Like, if your book doesn't appeal to me visually, I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
That's the first step. I've got to like the way the book looks. And then after that, the story has to be good. And I'm not going to support a crappy story or a crappy artist. I'm not going to spend my money on it.
As a comic book aficionado, that's what I'll call you, a comic book aficionado, the first thing you're going to see would be the look of the book. You know, because most of us that go into the comic book stores, we look at the artwork before we even think about reading the story.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, like you said, the story is crap. Then, you know, you'll never pick that up again.
Right. And then I was told in that same discussion, I need to stop buying Marvel and DC books. And I'm like, why would I do that? That's what got me into comic books.
Right.
If they're making a bad story, then I'm not going to buy that story. I mean, the same rule that I apply to indie creators is the same rule I apply to Marvel and DC. If they're making a crappy book with crappy art and a crappy story, I'm not going to buy their stuff. But at my core, I'm a comic book fan. Marvel, at that time, 10 years ago, told me my style was too urban. But that's not taken away from the fact that I'm still a geek at heart. And yes, I still want to draw Wolverine. I still want to draw Spider-Man. So
they never should take that away from you.
Right. So I started the debate with, well, look, we've gone on and on about these other books, or there's always a thread about Marvel and DC and what they're not doing for us and you know, how they're messing up the comic books or whatever. And then we'll go 300, 400 comments on Facebook on that, sharing it and everything. Thread for Hotshot. I'm going to give you all 7 issues for free, digital download right now. All I ask is that you read it, and let's start a thread. Let's start one of those epic discussions about my book. Trust me, if you don't like it, then that's even better. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I want unbiased, honest opinion about my book. Matter of fact, I'm going to make it extra easy for you. Here's 5 points that I wonder about myself in the book. So I put up the link for the comic books. I put up my 5 points. You know how many people commented, Dre?
What, 3?
Yeah, 3. Gave you,
well, you know,
7 comic books. Like, I was putting my money where my mouth was. I gave you access to 7 free comic books. All you had to do was read them, and let's start talking about it.
That's it. You know,
that would be the biggest obstacle, getting people to converse and talk and share these comic books. And I'm not saying everybody's like that, because I have developed a great support system on social media and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, to create and have that discussion, if there was more discussions about our books would be more places.
Yeah, that is true. Because one thing about me or whatever, as far as social media is concerned, I really never get into the subject of the Marvel Universe or DC Universe. Due to the fact that, for me personally, I can really care less what they're putting out, what colors and shades they make the characters, because technically speaking, it has nothing to do with me and what I'm creating. That's the reason why we're out here as independents, because even though you're still a Marvel geek at hand or whatever, and you're going to always be into Spider-Man, Wolverine, that's fine. Well, for the most part, you're still doing your independent project, meaning you're not totally gone off into Marvel world like some people have been on these social threads or whatever, and they will debate from beginning to end. You'll have a 80 80 comment section going on about why they changed Spider-Man into, what's his name, Morales now? That's the new name now? Or why is Captain America black or this and that, blah, blah. And to me, that's not even important. Because like you said, you know, we got all these independents out here that are nice. There's some nice independent books out there. But there's also some that aren't that great.
Right.
So I'm with you. You know, you support what you like. But for people to sit on these threads and just be debating Marvel and DC, to me, that's personally, I think that's really a waste of valuable time.
And
you know, we create a massive universe with all the characters that a lot of us have.
Right.
And
a point that a good buddy of mine, Quinn, made was, because I was going back and forth with somebody over the whole thing with Marvel and DC and their diversity. Because my thing is, you're mad that Marvel Comics and DC is doing diversity and are color changing characters and things like that. But at the end of the day, who cares? You're still getting
right.
diversity. They're still diversifying. It may not be the way that you want. It may not be the story that you want, and the story may not be good. But even if they were doing it the way you wanted, half the stories wouldn't be good. I mean, I'm not saying roll over and just accept that as that's it. Like, we still should be asking for more until we feel like it's equal or whatnot. I understand that. But Quinn had to make a point to me that you can't just be quiet about it, in which I understand. You have to bring attention to it, and you have to talk about it, which is
right.
You have to do that. You have to talk about it. You have to bring attention to it. So Marvel and DC at some point does see that. But after you brought attention to it, let it go.
Right.
Move on.
Yeah. I think
because you're still getting the diversity.
I think the attention has been brought to it a long time ago when they decided to when they changed Nick Fury from white to black. That attention was brought to the universe then as far as Marvel was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, like I was saying earlier, that's their universe. Once it was brought up, like you said, let it go. There's no debates anymore at this point. People need to be more or less promoting and marketing and just, you know, putting their own products out and getting them up to a certain quality, because a lot of this quality out here now is better than Marvel as far as the books are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some work out here that was phenomenal. You know, I haven't seen anything that Marvel has done that's touching any of these other artists. You know, like I've seen some Hispanic brothers, you know, their work is phenomenal. A couple of, you know, black guys out here, work is phenomenal. But the thing is, they're not really getting that recognition that they should get, because it goes mm-hmm. back into what you were saying a minute ago when you were speaking of how you plug, you know, the free downloads for Hotshot, and you're expecting at least 80 people to respond, and only 3 people responded.
Mm-hmm.
We keep running into that. We all want this diversity, but we're not supporting those that could give us the diversity.
Right.
You know, and, that, and we need to be more concentrated on that. Yeah, we can bring up what Marvel and DC isn't doing and what they are doing. But for the most part, I think we need to concentrate a lot on our own craft, you know, make sure our craft goes to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I see it, you know, because we keep debating them, and we'll be old and gray and in our grave, and they'll still be doing the same thing.
All right. I mean, at the end of the day, Marvel and DC is going to their company. They're going to do
right.
what's best for their company, which is their whole purpose is to make money. So, yes.
Make money.
They are going to,
and really, to be
do
honest,
whatever they feel like
that,
brings in the dollars.
We should have that same mindset, you know, to some degree, not just being greedy or whatever, but just be out here to think, hey, you know, it's time to make money and not just be drawing pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I do a show with Urban Style Comics, you know, I'm there to make money, not just to show off, you know, the new artist for dreadlocks or the new story I wrote, things of that nature. That's fine. But I'm there to make money, because after traveling to these different areas, that can be a bit expensive, depending on where you're going, outside the Midwest.
Right. Yeah, hotel, gas, food for the day or the weekend, plus getting all your stuff printed up to take up there. Yeah, it all adds up.
Right. Now, what does the future hold for Mike Watson and Vanessa? And what's your anchor name again?
Gary.
Gary, what does the future hold for you guys?
Right now, our future is strongly tied to Legacy right now. So we're in full-scale production mode. Like, the next two issues of Hot Shot are done, already in the bed. I'm working on the ninth issue right now and a backup story. We're collecting the first seven issues into trade. We have Vigilance. Excuse me. We have Vigilance, Heroes International, planned up to for 25 issues right now, and the rest of it loosely plotted out. Hot Shot is plotted out to 50 issues and beyond right now. So working those books, continuing. Our first objective is to get the books out on time, get them produced to the best quality that we can get them. And I'm looking to try to introduce a couple more stories and put a couple more books under my belt for drawing on a month to month basis myself. So it's all about doing the comic books right now, and I'm trying to add some more weight to the art classes that I do with Fort Hayes and my own class I do on Fridays down at Heroes and Games. So and continuing the commissions and the freelance work that I get. So it's been a pretty decent year. It's been, don't get me wrong, it's been a struggle. I mean, I wouldn't be where I'm at all without my wife or my family supporting me the way that I do, with the way that
right,
they do.
That's,
and
yeah, that's number
it,
one.
It hasn't
you know,
been perfect.
Here, you know. Right, that it works out when your mate, you know, wife, and then some, you know, the ladies or whatever, if they have husbands or whatever, is great that their mate support them. Like you, your wife. I look at like Kim Monsberry, her husband, he supports her and her endeavors. That's number one right there. My wife obviously supports me, been supporting me for years in this right here. With that being said, if that support wasn't there, you know, you would be on shaky ground, don't you think?
I don't know where I would be at right now. So
exactly. So it's great doing that.
It was a big
risk. Until I said thank you for that.
I will.
Because you wouldn't have been at Motor City Black Age of Comics last year or the year before.
No, I would not. And, you know, coming back again, so 3 years in a row. So looking forward
Which
to
we're
it.
Looking forward to having you there again this year. And I really, like I said, like the work that you guys did on the flyer this year and last year. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get ready to send it off for print very soon. I think tomorrow or later tonight, you know, they have the 24-hour thing. I could just line it up over the internet, and then I can pick it up in 2 days. Just go pick it up like that. But the flyer is awesome. Everybody that has seen it, you know, is getting a lot of good publicity. And see, I deal with a lot of different comic book stores right here in the Detroit area. And when they seen the flyer last year, you know, with the poster, you know, they were just like, you know, amazed by it.
That's
you know,
awesome.
Guys, they put
That's
it
awesome.
On their doors. They put it on their doors like when people enter into the comic book store. They had that Motor City Black Age of Comics poster right there, boom, so everybody can see it. If they don't see it, they'll see the flyers for sure.
Well, I always
love
it. That's one of the reasons
good.
Why I appreciate you letting us work on the poster for Motor City, because we get to put our characters on there along with your characters as well. And I want to, like I told you, I had one drawn up already, and I was working on getting the inks and colors done. And when I came back to it, I just didn't like it. Wasn't as impactful as I wanted it to be. And went back in and reworked it. And I really wanted to take your Motor City Icon character and really make him a part of the actual Motor City name, because he's with everything that you say in Motor City.
Right. That's true. And I really appreciate that. But let me ask you, how important is it for you to perfect your craft and keeping your skills intact? And, you know, do you have any suggestions for upcoming artists, writers, / creators? Because I know you're teaching classes on Friday after school. Do you have any suggestions on how to keep their craft in order?
And you got to keep drawing, man. You got to keep drawing. Even when you don't want to, you got to draw. Sometimes you need to step away from it, but you got to always come back. And if you're drawing a book, start off one thing that Luke always told me that I thought was pretty good is that start off with a short story so you can start it and finish it and have that sense of accomplishment. If you're going to make a book, which is something that Victor told me, you can't keep going back and redoing your pages. You just need to draw your pages and get them done. The more you draw, the more you work on the book, the more issues that you have come out with the book, you're going to improve on the book. You're going to get better because you're drawing all the time. So don't get stuck on trying to make it perfect. You just need to get it done and, you know, set your goals and stick to them.
Because that's very important, you know, that you bring that up because, you know, my thing is, you know, like you said, stick to drawing every day, even if you're drawing a finger. You know, I think one of the hardest parts of the body that people tend to have a hard time drawing are feet. You know, I don't know about
right.
you. How are you on the feet? Can you draw them pretty good? Are
oh,
you pretty
yeah.
good on drawing feet?
I'm pretty comfortable drawing feet. I took several years of figure drawing in high school and at CCAD. So
okay.
I'm comfortable drawing. I'm drawing all the time, so. And if
right.
I wasn't comfortable drawing it, I'd get the reference to draw the feet. So reference is
right.
Feet.
So that references help with everything. That's a good thing. Because I know a lot of people say, man, the feet is getting to me. The feet is getting to me. I just can't get it. But like I say, just stick with the references. That'll help because it'll give you different angles as well. Now, could you let the fans and the listeners know how to get copies of Hot Shot and Assume Vigilance and Legacy Publications?
Oh, right now you can get digital copies of Hot Shot back issues right now on peakgamecomics.com. If you contact Legacy Rising on our Facebook page, because the website's still being constructed, you can get hard copies of the book mailed out to your stores or to yourself. So you can find Legacy Rising on Facebook as Legacy Rising Publications, and we'll pop right up. So that's where you can get the books at right now. Or
okay.
you can catch me in any of the comic book conventions or shows that I'm going to be at. Like tomorrow, I'll be at Cincinnati for a high school doing a book sale of Hot Shot number one, and I'll be at the Big Pickerton comic book show this Saturday, and of course I'll be at Detroit Motor City in November.
Okay.
So I'm making my ways around.
Okay, so you're killing the Midwest, basically.
Yeah, I got to get out to. I got to find a show that I can afford to get out to over on that side of California and stuff.
Right, like Kamikaze. What else is out there? Is WonderCon is out there?
I think so. At this point, I don't care what show it is, as long as it has a decent amount of presence and I can afford it. I just need to get out to that side because I've yet to get over to that side of the country yet.
Well, those two would be two that you may be able to afford. Now, as far as Comic-Con International, you know, that one there, you may be able to get in there. I don't know the cost as far as a small press booth right now, but those are pretty reasonable. They were some years ago when me and my partner went out there. They were real reasonable, and we were able to get out there, and we did real good. So San Diego, if you can get a small press, you know, you got to register for that like a year in advance.
Yeah.
Just keep your heads up. And then New York Comic Con, you know, that's local. Well, not really local, but it's more reasonable cost-wise, more so than San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, I'm going to New York this year. So Legacy is actually
okay.
going to make an appearance at New York Comic Con. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Great. Good, because I'm planning on being there myself.
Mm.
I haven't been there in 2 years, so it's time to get back there. I like New York Comic Con.
Yeah,
so,
it'll be
Mike,
my first time there.
Oh, this is your first show there? Oh, man,
it'll be my first show there.
Man, you're going to love it. I'm just going to tell you now in advance. You're going to want to go there every year. If you can make it, you'll be there. So we already know what cons you're hitting this year. We got New York Comic Con, and I'll be in Cincinnati myself. I think in 2 weeks is a show there. Speculative Fiction. I forget the name of it. I got to pull it up. I'm looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward to you in November, November the 12th, coming up to the D.
My wife's excited about that because she goes to that show with me all the time, and we take the kids, so she's always looking forward to that show.
Now, has she been to Wayne State before?
No.
Okay, Wayne State University is pretty. It's a real nice university. It's basically in the middle of the city. We call it Midtown. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger venue, well lit. It's room for everything, so we're good.
I don't doubt you, man. You've always laid out the places where we go for this show, and it's always generated great traffic. You know how to work whatever venue it is. If people come up, so you got my trust when it comes down to this.
That's the game plan. Hey, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight, and I look forward to having you on here again. Like I tell everyone, you know, we will have you on again. This will not be the last time. So once again.
Oh, cool beans.
What'd you say, Mike?
No, I was saying cool beans, man. It sounds good to me.
Okay, cool beans, brother. And we will talk again soon.
Made lake, there's a sheet up in ice. We're unskilled skaters, cut figure eight twice. At 16, uncut, direct from the cult. Head on assault, the result, death by the bolt. In the vault, it spoke about the average lost permission that was seen by a king in a prophetic vision. Like a plane crash from a bomb blast. Special broadcast, block time with Comcast. They kept the jury quiet and now the riot performed. While satanic man now hanging his dorm. I swing on you fake radio personalities with Wuxia ratings. With hikes behind casualties and fire shots. With low pressure water gunplay. Instantly slap your five like it's Palm Sunday. I fashioned the first tool from the elements the earth used. And built it to a complex network of communication. You're up against a hopeless situation. I screen every vehicle through enemy observation. Swarming unpredictably. We spread terror. Increase the fog significantly. Change the era. Check my wind pattern. It's heading west. Success is freedom. But failure can mean death. Human sweat and aim shovels. Dig up debris and rubble. Permanent damage caused by the double. You, now who, cowardly urge you to merge through and think the workers that serve you, the Sonic Marvel, who just dropped the next novel. Worldwide, rap elite, more than Marvel. It's a countless amount of MCs I saved, and them same niggas wanna swindle those gifts I gave.
Moments most sacred. Both species, they lay naked in the tombs of the oasis. Think back on niggas I ate with, spend the day with, guns we play with, niggas I relate with, we broke bread. I heard through a vine, niggas work for the feds, sent out secretly to take my head. I lay back and meditate to the words they said. Skip town, 4 months, group of dread. Had a friend tell my family I was dead. Return at the last fall of the autumn leaves. Operate the plan accordingly. In case the feds are recording me. Sign all documents. Using forgery, cause just a mere thought of me. I'm like Solomon, spoke bluntly. Told the world I'm black and comely. Howl from the grave, hunt me. The smell of death upon me. I dwell in the hills like Gandhi. Been in the presence of mad peasants and old kings who sold everything on the quest of God divine. Slept in caves to get a clear mind. Who prayed 3 times when the moon lit and when the sun rise. I met dwellers in the desert. Talked to shepherds. Been in the mouth of many leopards. Felt the death kiss of Satan's mistress. Walked through vacant districts. Performed religious. Studied pagan scriptures. Through philosophers and physicians on a cure mission. Who hardened their hearts toward the weak, sick, and afflicted. Candles lit. Gambled with a bitch. Who made me love her when I touch her. Saw paws, high claws. Bees with sweet honey in their mouth. have bitter stingers that they tell. Walk through the chambers of death, take a hold on to hell. Embracing her was like embracing the third well.